everybody. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power. How He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried to Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated if you can. I sing that song. When we sing it, I always think of Brother. No. The pastor at Mount Calvary, or Calvary. Leonard Lindsay. I always think of Leonard Lindsay, pastor many, many years there at Calvary, Free Will Baptist Church there at Rutherford College exit there. And, well, they are there now. But anyway, of course, he's not pastor there, but how is he doing, by the way? So you need to lift him up. Just lost his wife, and then he's not doing good mentally. It must be dementia or something, Alzheimer's. But if you will, pray for brother. Brother Lindsay is a faithful warrior in the Lord. Amen. Preached that word of God for many, many years. And he always loved to hear my wife and requested her sing Victory in Jesus. Amen. And the piano. Thank God. You know, appreciate. I'll never forget my pastor. when a saint of God would go on to be of the Lord, he's all, never forget him saying it. Brother Tony can remember. He'll say that there's just another light that's went out. Amen. Another light that's went out in this world. And we were, my home church, Bethel Free Will Baptist Church on old number 10, attended there 20 some years. Amen. That's where I was raised. And we was counting the other day, Brother Tony, how many folks that have passed from that church in the last 20 some years. And I tell you, we got lights that are going out. But thank God that there's some lights coming on. Amen. And thank God for that. And I thank God for this church. Thank God for you. Praise the Lord for being here and being faithful. I thank you for being faithful, most of all to God, and being faithful to your church. Do you know there's Wednesday night service? Now, I know we're short numbered tonight. God knows the reason why folks are not here. But listen, there's many, many churches don't even have this many people on this Wednesday night service. And I thank God that you're faithful to the house of the Lord. Amen. I wonder if somebody got something on their heart tonight, a song or a testimony burning on your soul. Kathy, you got a song? We're still waiting on you and Jessica and Adam to sing Payday. All right, you got one? All right, maybe got a testimony while she's getting ready. God is good. Hallelujah. All the time. I hope and pray this year we'll get to go back to youth camp. Amen. Somebody said, oh, it won't be over by then. Oh, ye of little faith. Amen. Listen, we're supposed to have faith. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But anyway, let's pray for these folks. Remember, the altar's open tonight if you need to pray.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? You know that your baby boy has come to make you new. This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his that your baby
You know, when the angel came and spoke to Mary, the Bible says she pondered all those things in her heart. Could you imagine? I thought about preaching Well, just let me say this. Mary was the favored one. Amen. There's probably a sermon. Hallelujah. Mary was the favored one. Thought about taking a Sunday. Each Sunday. Of course, I've done missed it, I guess. Should have done it Sunday morning. But was being led of the Lord. Amen. Thought about preaching on a different character in the Christmas story up to, Christmas. But anyway, take time, reflect on Christmas. You know, it's a sad thing to me, and don't fall out with the preacher. Your kids ought to be taught, when they think about Christmas, it ought to be about the birth of our Savior. Now, I know Santa Claus, I ain't trying to spoil it for nobody. It can be done in fun, but as long as they know the meaning, the true meaning, of Christmas, and why we give gifts. Amen? Praise the Lord. Even while we decorate a tree with lights. You know you can get a message off candy cane? Hallelujah. I know the Bible talks about paganism, and I know that the Bible talks about bringing trees into your house and decorating them. But you know what? I don't worship that Christmas tree. And it ain't a holiday tree to me. Amen? It's a Christmas tree. I changed my profile on the and put Merry Christmas till Brother Mike Allison. I done it in a hurry. I wasn't at the house and I seen it and I thought I'm going to change it and put Merry Christmas. And so I done it. And it wasn't but a few minutes. Some folks had commented on it, and you better check those already pre-made things that you put on your profile picture, because I didn't. I just automatically thought, man, it looked good, Merry Christmas, but they left the T out of Christmas. Christmas ain't Christmas without Christ, and His name ain't Chris. Amen. So we reposted and said, that's just like the devil, isn't it? Amen. Amen. So check your profiles, and if you've got Merry Christmas on it, make sure it's Christmas. Amen.
That's the same word. A lot of people just copy and paste it.
Yep. That's right. Amen. So, that's right. Be careful. Amen. Be careful. So, does that bother you that much? It sure does. It bothers me that much. Amen. And it ought to. And I thank God for the conviction. Ephesians tonight. Amen. We'll go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. How many have your Bibles? I know you done started turning. Let's lift them up. Give God a good wave offering with the Holy Scripture. Amen. Love your Bible. You're holding your hand. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll give you time to get there. I like to hear the turning of the pages in the Bible. Hallelujah. You pray for us tonight? Let's bow our heads, ask the Lord's blessings upon the reading of the Scripture. Heavenly Father, we ask tonight that You would bless us to Lord, this evening, give us the wisdom and knowledge, God, of Your Word. We ask, God, that we'd say no more, no less than You would have preached, God, in this particular service. God, I want to say love You, and I thank You, Lord, for the prayers You've answered, God, even today, this week. Thank You, dear God, for those that You're going to answer. Lord, bless this service tonight. Lord, take a coal from off the altar of God. Oh, Lord, and just touch this so... Lord, just anoint this old stammering tongue. And God, just touch our mind. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd, if there's any lost, save them backslidden, walking afar off. God, just help them, God, to come back to You. Thank You, God, for this time of year. Thank You, God, for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus, that we might have right to eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection. And God, we thank You, Lord, that Your Son, Jesus, is sitting at Your right hand. Lord, make an intercession for us, dear Lord. And thank God we have a mediator. Lord, I love You. I thank You. And we give You glory. And all God's people said.
Amen.
One verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. You may be seated. That's what the Lord has guided me to tonight. I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. More wood you put on the fire, the hotter the fire burn. Amen. Hope pray you've come to get something from the Lord. We'll try to give it quick as we can. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Boy, that's plain, isn't it? In other words, we're not to be ignorant about things. If you read the Word of God, you'll find that talking about qualifications, amen, for a bishop and things. They're not to be a novice. Remember that in the Word of God. He said to be not. Let's just say it again. Wherefore be ye not unwise, boy, that could cover a lot of ground, couldn't it? And unwise about our Scripture and unwise about the Word and what we believe and why we believe it. You're not to take the preacher's... Listen, thank God, the Bible says not to put confidence in man, but Paul did say, be ye followers of me as I'm also of Christ. You've got a little bit of confidence in your pastor to give you the Word of God or you wouldn't be here tonight. But you're not to take every word that I say without going to the Scripture yourself and proving, amen, what I say to be the Word of God, to be the truth. But one day I'll stand before God and I'll give an account for every utterance that I have spoken behind this pulpit. Lord, help me. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me say by the way of introduction, the will of God is not hidden. The will of God is not covered over with a blanket. It's not hid in some room somewhere. Amen. It's not in some dark area that you can't see and you can't find. But I believe it's revealed to us through the Word of God. What is the Word? The will of knowing the will of God is revealed to us through His Word. God doesn't bypass our minds when it comes to His will for you. God doesn't bypass our minds when it comes to knowing the will of God and His will for us. That's why Paul said here in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Still in the introduction tonight, do you know the will of God? I want you to ask yourself that question. Do you know the will of God? There's been times in my life, in my ministry, I thought I knew the will of God on certain things, amen, and circumstances, and but do we really know the will of God? It's important that you know God's will in your life. Do you understand the will of the Lord? There's been times in my life in ministry I thought, Lord, why? I don't understand your will in this. I've seen things happen, amen, in church. I've seen things happen, will I say in church? Yes, sir. Amen. I've seen things happen that I've questioned, and I've seen things happen that I thought, well, if God's in that, then I have a misconception of God. But I want you to know tonight, I do have a feeble mind, but I do know this. I don't think I've got a misconception of God. God does let me know what's right and what's wrong, and God does allow us to know His will and to understand His will. Now, the incident that I'm talking about, and I'm not going to get into that, when I said I questioned and I thought, well, if God's in that, then I have a misconception of the will of God or misconception of God. That circumstance, you say, well, through the years, how many years has it been? It's been several years. Amen. And I'll still say this. If God was in it, I got a misconception of God. So what's my answer to that? Amen. God wasn't in it. God ain't changed my mind about it because I know what the Word of God says. And I got eyes to see with. Amen? You say, did the situation get better or did it get worse? Well, let me just say this. That's between them and God. That's all I can say. I've seen to one point it ain't as good as it once was.
Amen.
Amen. So he's telling us, amen, to not be unwise. He said, don't be unwise, but understanding the will. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm going to deal with tonight by the help of the Lord, amen, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So let's just entitle it this, the will of God. The will of God. Do you know God's will? So there's the introduction. So by that, let me start off by saying, number one tonight, nothing is the will of God if it's not in accordance with the Word of God.
Amen.
Nothing is the will of God if it's not in accordance, amen, with the Word of God. If it doesn't match up to this,
amen,
it ain't God's will.
Right.
If it don't line up with that, it ain't God's will. We got something in our hand, the Bible, amen, calls it, well, glory to God, it's a tape measure, it's a plumb line, amen. We got something in our hand that we're measured by, amen. And listen, when you stand before God, it ain't going to be your recollection. It ain't going to be your theory, amen. It ain't going to be your thoughts of how it ought to have been interpreted, amen. Right here is what you're going to be judged by. Amen. Do you know where every day we're measured by this? Amen. And hey, my heart's desire is not to come up, amen, being found wanting. Amen. I don't want to stand before God being put on the balances of God. Amen. And hey, and be found wanting when it comes to the Word of God. So I'll say it again. Nothing is the will of God if it's not in accordance, amen, to the Word of God. If it don't match up there, amen, then you can always say, amen, that it's not God's will. I mean, there's a lot of things, amen, that we question in life. Nine times out of ten, I've always heard this, nine times out of ten, if you got a question about something, if it's right or wrong, if you question it, it's probably, now there's probably a slight chance, but most of the time, if you question it, being right or wrong, it's probably wrong, if you question it. The Bible isn't a book of rules. Now don't misunderstand when I say that. We do have commandments.
Amen.
We do have the precious Word. And when I say that it's not just a book of rules or a book of rules, amen, what I mean by that, it's a book of principles.
Amen.
We hold in our hand a book of principles tonight. Amen. And when I say that, I looked up the word principle, and one of the definitions says it's first. A principle is first. In other words, most important. So there's a problem. What's most important in our lives, in our Christian lives, amen? But the Word of God is principles that we live by and we can apply to certain aspects and areas of our life. I mean, when it comes to the way we dress, when it comes to the way we talk, when it comes, amen, to a lot of, our behavior, amen. And, but listen, too often we want to make a list of rules, amen, to govern, the way we live rather than living by biblical principles, amen. Principles is immoral, amen, if, morally. I mean, God provides principles, amen, for living in a way that protects us, amen, from wicked thinking, amen, from wicked behavior. Amen. You can learn those principles, amen, through the Word of God. I mean, listen, that's when he tells the Sister Dora to meditate upon the Word of God, to meditate on it. You know what keeps me straight? Amen. Being in this Word. Amen. Meditating on the precious Word of God. Hallelujah. I may not understand everything I read at the time that I read it. Amen. But thank God. Amen. So how's your Bible reading? Amen. I'm going to say it again. God provides, amen, principles for living, amen, in a way that He protects us, amen, from wicked and thoughts and wicked behavior. You see somebody acting, wicked? They're not following, amen, the principles that God set forth in the Word of God. Now those principles, man, we could take and pick those out and we could preach, amen, and preach and preach. Amen. There's a lot of things we can learn from the Word of God. But listen, biblical principles can protect our health. Did you know that? I believe there's people, amen, that apply the principles of the Word of God that protect their health. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. Amen. There's people that are sick. Amen. Just because my mom has had to suffer. Amen. And she's questioned, and you've heard me relate to that. But what I'm saying is, just because she's sick and she's got or had cancer. Amen. Listen, it doesn't mean that she's lived a wicked life. I mean, I had a man tell my mom that one time. Said Gail, what have you done? What have you done that you're having to suffer more or less through this sickness? What have you done? Now, I know, you can bring things upon yourself. I believe you can bring sickness upon yourself. I believe God gets our attention through things and through sickness. But just because my mom has suffered through a lot of things, amen, and there's a big long story of things that she's went through her life. But what I'm saying there is just like John chapter number 9, amen, the man that was born blind from his mother's womb, you've heard me say it before, he made a comment, in other words, who sinned, him or his parents, because he was born blind. But if you'll read that story, none had sinned, but it was for God to get the glory. See, my mom, I've had people, you know, moms ask me why. I don't understand why. I said, God is using you. I said, you don't understand, you don't realize it, but you inspire a lot of people. Now, see, when I say that, I had a lady here a week or so ago was telling me how that she was one of the strongest women she had ever experienced and seen in her life. Now, I'm not uplifting my mom. I'm telling you how that God is using her through her sickness. Now, I've heard my mom beg to die. I'll be honest with you. I've heard her ask to go on. I mean, ask to just get out of her pain, to get out of her misery. Amen. That's hard as a child. Hear your mom say that. But I know there's a place that she's better off. Are you with me? But just because, amen, you're sick doesn't necessarily mean that you've sinned. Or doesn't necessarily mean that you've done something. Now, I mean, you might be paying for something, amen, in your life. Amen. I'd rather pay for sin here than I had in the afterlife. Amen. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God they're under the blood. But listen, if I have to pay for anything, amen, that I have done, I'd rather pay for it here, amen, than I had in a place called hell. Amen. But thank God my sins are gone. And by the way, none of us in here is going to live forever physically. Now, I'm going to live forever, but I ain't living forever in this body. I mean, we do everything we can to keep this thing alive. Everything. There's still a fight. My mom can say that one day, and she can be so low and so sick, and then the next week, amen, you can see a little fight in her. Why? There's a fight. There's a fight to stay alive. But I got news for everybody in this church tonight. You're not going to live forever. You're born to die. But it's important, amen, up till that. I didn't know I was going there. It's important up till then, amen, that we live by the principles of God and we understand what the will of God is for our life. Do you know what the will of God is for your life? I said biblical principles can protect our health. How many believe that? I was making comment to somebody. Well, I think me and my mom was talking. I said, I believe God has spared some people, and you look at people that are up in age. I'm talking about 80s and on. And I thought, man, how God has blessed them to live that. Hey, I tell you, if you live to 70, don't the Bible says that's it? More or less, I can't remember how Genesis put that, amen, but if you're 70, amen, you're blessed. Three what? Find out how much, find out what that is, amen. Some of you know it. 3 score and 10, so that's how much? 70. So, man, if you live beyond 70, you ought to thank God every day that you're living. Because there have been many, amen, that don't reach 70. Many that don't reach 50. Amen. Can I get a witness there? Sure. So you're blessed. Amen. You ought to thank God. Amen. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? Nothing is the will of God if it's not in accordance, amen, to the Word of God. So biblical principles, amen, can protect our health. It teaches us how to live. I believe as more as we honor God and more we're faithful to this Word and His commandment, amen, I believe God, hey, if He can do it for Hezekiah, He can do it for you. I told Mom, I said, God's going to add 15 years to your life. She said, oh, no. But it's through what she's went through. How many believe God can add 15 years to your life? My grandmother was 94 years old, amen, 94. She got to her, I mean, sharp as a tack, up to just maybe a year or two, or a few years. About 4 or 5 years before, I mean, sometimes you'd walk in, she would never know my mom, but she'd always know my dad. Never knew my mom, but always knew my dad. Said, you don't want to live to get old, honey. Don't want to live to get old. But you know what? I've seen God guide her. I've seen God hold her hand. I've seen the Lord. You talk about a praying woman. Amen. I want to say tonight, nothing is the will of God if it's not according to the Word of God. If it don't line up with this, it's not the will of God. So if you're questioning what God's will is in your life, amen, listen, we need this Word. We need this book. Listen, we never have to pray about something that the Word of God commands. Did you hear that? We never have to pray about something that the Word of God commands. Let me give you an example. Marriage. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So you know what that's saying? Don't marry anybody. Hey, don't you marry that one, amen, that's unequally yoked, amen. That's not saved. And well, I win them over 9 times out of 10, amen, they get you. I mean, we never have to pray about something that God's Word commands us to do. Hallelujah. I mean, it always gets me. Listen, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. A house that's divided, amen, against each other, it ain't going to stand. Amen. I mean, and by the way, there's more to choosing a mate, amen, for life than just whether or not, amen, that they're a professing Christian or not. I mean, they may profess they're a Christian and they may be living like the devil. I mean, listen to me. It's more to that. I mean, which one do we marry? Well, sure, marry the one that you love, amen, but you need to marry the one that God puts you with, amen, God's going to put you and pray about. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, hey, there's probably people in here that didn't really pray about, amen, the mate that you have, but aren't you glad that you're still with your mate and God's blessed that? That don't mean God can't honor that. Somebody said one time, hey, man, people were, couples have hard times, and I've counseled through the years, folks, married couples, amen, and I, matter of fact, there came over a couple, amen, that come up their thing then on Facebook, and used to come to this church many years ago, amen, and I had counseled, and I had sat down, then my wife had, and amen, and I thought, glory to God, they act like they were happy, and they're still together. You know why me and my wife are still together? Anybody know why? Loving God. Amen. Amen. Somebody said one time, well, I married the wrong one. One preacher said, yeah, but you're married to the right one now. See, vows don't mean nothing no more. I didn't marry my wife. I may not have understood everything, amen, when I said I do. Amen, I think I did. And if I didn't then, I do now. Amen. But what I mean is, listen, I loved her. Amen. And loved her with all my heart. Still love her with all my heart. And thank God, amen, that He allowed us to be put together. Amen. But there's people that say, yeah, I got married, but I found out He wasn't the one for me. Or I found out she wasn't the one for me. But they're the right one now. Amen. It don't give us the right to cop out on God. Amen. To cop out on, amen. If it's that easy for you to do, you ain't read Corinthians. That's another message. Amen. All God people say it. Sure enough. So I'm going to say we never have to pray about something that the Word of God commands us to do. I mean, what about our vocation? 1 Peter 4:11. If any man minister, let him do it as of... In other words, let me go on down there and say, in other words, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever he do all to the glory of God. That's part of that verse. Amen. Colossians teaches us, amen, to do it heartily as to the Lord. In other words, God has called me to preach. And what am I to do? I'm to do that. I'm talking about I don't like to call it a vocation. To me, that's a calling. But I'm talking about even your vocation in life. Whatever vocation that you enter into, amen, you got to be able to honor God with your lives in whatever you're doing. Can we glorify God in what we're doing? If not, amen, then I don't think it's the will of God. I mean, man, you what come to my mind when I was studying this today? And I've not got it handy with me, and if anybody's got it, and if it's somewhere close, get it if you can. But I tell you what come to my mind today. The church covenant. Have you read the church covenant? At Going Home Church? I mean, boy, it's, you know, there's one time I just took the church covenant and preached on the church covenant. I mean, there's a lot in there. I mean, it's talking about, hey, you know it's a sin to give your neighbor drink? Everybody with the preacher? Boy, you don't like to hear it. It gets quiet. Because you're wondering where I'm going. But whatever you do as far as your vocation, can you do it? Amen. Can you glorify God in what you're doing? Amen. If you're not, amen, and you can't, then I don't think it's the will of God. Amen. And God's never going to ask you to do something, amen, listen, that goes contrary to the Word of God. Never. This is like people, I pastored this church for 21. This is the 27th year. I've seen people through the year, boy, pray God to put me on first shift where I can come to church on the evening service, Sunday night and Wednesday night. And God will do it, and guess what happens? They don't come. I think the question that we need to answer is, what is your final authority? You know, there's a lot of people that's got different ideas. For some, human experience is their final authority. Well, it happened to me, therefore it's true. I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I feel. You don't do what you feel. You do what you feel, you stay in trouble all the time. Amen. Then there's a human reasoning, amen, as a final authority. This is sometimes the position of a lot of liberals, amen. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong, because we're all looking for truth. There ain't nobody right, there ain't nobody wrong, we're all looking for truth. Listen, what they cannot conceive is they won't believe. If they can't conceive it, they ain't going to believe it. What they can't understand, amen, they're not going to accept. If it doesn't make sense to me that there's a hell, so there's no hell. That's what a lot of people think. That's the way a lot of people think. Then there's those who take the Bible as the only final authority in their lives. Thank the Lord. I hope you are part of that crowd tonight. Amen. You know why? Because that's my final authority, is what thus saith the Word of God. I hope it's yours. There's a lot of people say that the Word of God is their final authority, but they continue, amen, to make important decisions on the basis of their human thinking and their human reasoning, amen, and experience. I'm going to tell you something. Final authority means that, like it or not, there's nowhere else to turn for the answer. What's the final authority in your life? What's the final authority in my life? To me, it's the Word of God. Secondly, before you can know the will of God for your life, you got to be willing to do the will of God. Amen. I'll try to get to her. Listen, before you can know the will of God for your life, you got to be willing to do the will of God. We got it right here, but the problem is people want the will of God, but they don't want to do the will of God. God wants us to be ready and willing to do anything He asks us to do. If I wasn't willing to do what God told me, this pastor would not be here today. Listen, in the military, when a commanding officer issues a command, he expects immediate obedience. Now, I ain't never been there, but I've heard enough stories. And I've seen enough, and I know. Listen, there's no room for discussion. There's no room for arguments. I mean, listen, the purpose of boot camp, amen, is to shape and to train young men to obey orders immediately. And if you don't obey orders immediately, on the battlefield, you know what hesitation is? Amen. Hesitation to obey, amen, could result in disaster. But you know what? We're in a battle. We're in a battle spiritually, amen. Our enemy is real. When we hesitate in our obedience to God, amen, in His Word, we open up ourselves for disaster in our lives. I started to preach a message one time, how to disaster-proof your marriage, amen, or your life, hallelujah. Listen, we got to be ready and willing to obey God. God wants us ready and willing to obey Him. Acts 9 and 6, amen, talks about the Lord. What will thou have me to do? Is anybody in, don't answer me this, but has anybody in here ever prayed, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, if you ever pray that, then you need to listen. Don't just say it, amen, and push it aside. It'll go unanswered unless we're ready and willing to serve Him. God will never reveal to us His will for our future if we aren't obedient to His will for the present. A lot of times our prayers are not to find the will of God, but to see if God will let us do what we want to do instead of what He said. Some of you didn't get it. I'll say it again. A lot of times our prayers are not to find out the will of God. Amen. But it's to see if God will let us do what we're really wanting to do rather than what He says for us to do. Ephesians 4:30, what He tells us to do. To grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If we continue to refuse to do what God wants, amen, we repeatedly do, amen, what we want, you know what will happen? The Holy Ghost, amen, who's given to be our guide, amen, and in all truth, you know what will happen? He's grieved. The Holy Ghost is grieved. And at that point, you can be sure that you're not in the will of God. Don't be unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord, the will of God. We need to surrender. Can I get an amen there? It's impossible to know the will of God, to not know the will of God, if you're yielded. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know what God's going to do? God's going to direct and He'll guide. Can I get an amen? He'll guide us by His eyes. Amen. Listen, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You believe that? Come pee in if you don't mind. I appreciate that. How do you know the will of the Lord? How do you understand? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. He's over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. How do you guide your children? I'll tell you how you do it. You silently guide them. But they got to be looking at, hey, they got to be looking at you or they'll not know, they'll not know what you want. Amen. How many ever got to look at mama looked at you and you know what she wanted? How many ever got to look from daddy and you know what he wanted? Destiny. We was riding today, my family was, she was back there, we've been keeping her all week, and every time she gets in the car, socks and shoes comes off. Socks and shoes. And I'll look back there and I'll say, what have you done? Have you got your socks and shoes on? I want you to look at me. She putting her feet up. You think that's funny? And son, today she just, why do you do that? And I mean, I was being real serious. Or why do you do that? And she just looked, you know, and I said, what do you say? She's trying to tell me why she does it. Well, come in church tonight. And let me just finish that story. Well, mom and dad was talking to her, but anyway, she started crying. Mama said, see there, you hurt her feelings. And then I got a guilt trip and all this kind of stuff. And I said, no, it ain't me hurting her feelings. I said, you just talk to her. I said, I've done that many, many times and she ain't crying. Come to church tonight. It's me and Angie and her. She sat back there in the car seat. I looked back there and I said, now, don't you take them shoes and socks off. Because I said, we're getting ready to go into the church. Don't take them off. We're getting ready to go into church, okay? I said, thank you. And then what did I say? I said, okay. Tay. At least that's what I thought she said. And I asked you, and I done it again, and I'd look back maybe once or twice, make a comment about her taking them off. She done good. But then I got to where I wasn't paying attention to her. Now normally they're both off. But there was only one sock and one shoe off. We got here and I said, what did you do? Did you take your shoes off and socks off in the car? we'll have to quit laughing at her. Oh, she's got on one sock and shoe and got on with one shoe. She couldn't find the other sock. Amen. But that look that I give her today, if it was me, it got to her. So this look. You know, I know when the Lord looks down at me. Anybody know when the Lord looks down at you and it's not the look that you... that He's playing. I mean that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When God just gives you that look and you know, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, recently I've just had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And when I say I'm sorry, aren't you glad God's a gracious God and a merciful God? There ain't nobody in here that has never had to say to God, I'm sorry. But we got to keep our eyes on God if we're to be led and directed in the will of God. That's the only way. Did you get it? We got to keep our eyes on God if we're going to be led and directed into the will of God. Do you understand the will of God for your life? Hey, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So let's recap a little bit. Nothing is the will of God if it's not in accordance to the Word of God. And before you can know the will of God, you've got to be willing to do the will of God. And really, the key to this thing is a surrendered life. Really. It's a surrendered life. So do you know the will of God in your life? Are you searching for the will of God in your life? I don't know why God wants me to preach this. Listen, if not, why don't you just determine that you're going to seek to apply the principles of His Word, the Word of God, to your life. Get in that book. How's your Bible reading? And listen, are you willing to do what He asks you to do? Are you truly surrendered? I want us to stand our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's the message that God's given me. So, we're to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. We've got to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Is there some area, some place in your ministry or your life that maybe you've questioned and you just need to come pray? This altar's open. This altar's open. If you've got a song, you sing it, or you just play whatever the Lord lays on your heart.
My desire,
listen to this, church.